Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Thank you for joining me, Pastor Clark Covington, here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Here we are back looking at Genesis 6, 8, and that verse there is a nice short one for us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we are looking at God's grace, his massive grace, and one way to do that is to put this verse in context of what was happening at the time, because it's early in the Bible. We don't have video footage. You can't just go on YouTube or something or on social media and see what it looked like back then. We don't know. We have some archaeology. We have Moses' account here in the Bible. And that's what we're going off of, is God's word. So we don't know in terms of like historical, like nobody was there, right? But what we do know is that God gives us a timeline. And so we can track either from present back to that time of the flood, or we can track from creation to the time of the flood. And we know that roughly 1600 some years passed from the time God created man to the flood. And in that time, God created, allowed to be created through people being fruitful and multiplying from Adam, from the line of Seth, surely from the line of Cain as well, and all the other kids that Adam and Eve had. And they probably had a lot of kids because they lived a long time. They then created, the Lord allowed to be created, however you want to put it, millions and millions of people, which led to presumably billions of people. How many people... how many people would be created over a 10-year span, with population, right? We don't know, but this was a lot more than 10 years. And so, if they think in 1800 there was a billion people, okay, that's according to our world data. So in 1800 there was a billion people, okay? This is, again, some worldly number that... Okay, in just, 220 some years, you now have 8 billion. So, can you imagine in all the time there were billions of people? Noah's the only one that found grace in the sight of the Lord. Here's another interesting idea. People think at that time, this kind of blew me away when I first heard this theory years ago. A Bible teacher named Les Feldick, I love to listen to Brother Les Feldick, was teaching this about how modern that society was and before pre-flood. And I have to agree with that, because think about if you have billions of people, they're going to have, and this is closer to God's creation, the Adamic line, right? So these folks probably have like more oxygen in their body, right? They're living longer. Their brains are sharper. I mean, can you imagine? They probably had very vast technologies, societies. I mean, it was probably much more advanced than we're prone to think that they were. I know that when I had a company years ago, I was doing a lot of stuff myself, because I was young and I didn't know what else to do. And I brought on some contractors, and I'll never forget, I had a piece of software that I kept come upon, and that software allowed all the contractors to log in on their own and basically do the work, right? And at that point, the company just, it really, really grew a lot, because all of a sudden I had help and there were other people using their unique skills and talents, and a lot of things got done. And if you look at a company and organization, you say, how did they do that? A lot of times the answer is they have a lot of people working on it, right? Well, can you imagine what could be produced in the earth over, 15, 16 centuries, over all of these folks being born, over an earth that was much different than it is today? Amen. I can't even imagine. And so we see that God wasn't just like wiping out people that were grunting and throwing stones at each other. He was wiping out his creation. Why? Because they had fallen so deep into sin that they had forgotten who he was. They had forgotten anything about holiness. Wickedness was on their mind day and night. The sin curse had taken hold. And there was one man, Noah, that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we're going to spend the rest of the episode, right when we come back from this break, talking about God's grace. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Now, grace, as we understand it, is God's unmerited favor. Grace is something that is not earned. Was it Noah's conduct that earned him favor with God? No, I believe it was his belief. Amen. It was his belief in God. And we see that Noah was living in abject wickedness. And so we as Christians, living in a society that has fallen far, far away from God. And I was talking to my wife about this last night. They just legalized gambling in North Carolina, online gambling, sports gambling at least. Of course, we have a casino in Kings Mountain, so it might as well be legal everywhere. But in North Carolina, when I don't say that promoting it. I say it shaking my head in dismay that this town in the Bible Belt is the host of a casino. How far have we fallen? There's literally a church on every corner. How far have we went and spoke to the town council, and they looked at us like we were from Mars. And you had preachers in there talking about how their uncle killed themselves over a gambling debt, and they just looked blankly. It's still on YouTube. You can find it. Amen. We have a video. We have footage. Watch those the eyes of those people. Our society has fallen. And by the way, I'm not picking on the town council. I'm picking on the world as a whole falling into sin and falling away from God. And I can do that because I've seen it, because I read the Bible. I'm studying the Bible. That's what we do here. And then you look at the world and you see where the world's at. Not just gambling. How about drugs? Again, in these same towns that I frequent, you can go and pick up legally drugs that were illegal just a short time ago. Gateway drugs, drugs that, you know, people are lacing with things. You could then go and buy things even at the gas station that's considered synthetic drugs. You know, you have drugs, you have gambling, you have promiscuity accepted. You have a society where you have people that are wicked beyond wicked being given accolades and being celebrated. And you have the man of God being called a fundamentalist, or even worse, a terrorist, you know, because you believe in the word of God. You have evil being called good and good being called evil. The Bible says, woe is unto that person. You have something, you have murder being called a human right in the case of abortion. You have so much wickedness in this world. And God's grace is to say, despite it all, despite all the rebellion of man, despite all the falling away, despite all the backsliding, despite all the sinfulness of man, I have provided a way for you to be saved. In Noah's time, it was the ark. And that ark, if you remember, was open to anybody and anyone that would come through, but nobody would. And in our time, the salvation that we have is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And it's God's grace that the Bible says, while we were yet enemies, God loved us. Amen. The Bible word would be enmity or warfare, where it's like where man's at war with God. And here God says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to set you free from sin. I'm going to let you into my heaven. I'm going to bless you and bless you. I'm going to lead you and guide you. All within the midst of this, again, the Bible would say, crooked and perverse generation. And we see it's God's grace. 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Noah was living godly in an ungodly world. So we have no excuse. And again, I believe it was an advanced world. I believe it was a very populous world. I believe it was much different than most people imagine it to be. Okay. Noah was living godly, so we're without excuse. And God's grace, he, you know, where, first of all, how about God's grace being in the creation of Noah, that God gave him the temperament, that God gave him the faith. God created Noah. God knew Noah before he was born and said, this one will be different. Amen. And that's the idea of election or predestination. It doesn't mean that people cannot repent. God wants all to come to knowledge, all to repentance. It just means that with Noah, he made someone special. So it's God's grace to make Noah like that. It's God's grace to give Noah the opportunity to serve him. It's God's grace to save Noah and his, guess what? His wife and his kids and all of it. God, you know, God did that. That's all God's grace. We see from the forerunner commentary, I love this little sentence here. The grace, the favor, the gifts of God always precede anything produced within his purpose and calling. So we see here, anything that somebody does for God, it's his grace that precedes it, that comes before it. Amen. And so we see his grace alive and at play here in the life of Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because God is merciful and graceful. And God wanted to not just provide it to Noah, not just Noah's family, not just his sons and his sons' wives, not just that. God wanted to provide it to all humanity, to everyone. And one way we see that is he brings all the animals on board. So he's going to have the animals reproduce. He has, 7 days that door is open on the ark before it's shut. He's giving people, that's his number of completion, by the way. It rained 40 days. That's another number. That's a number of testing or trials. All of this is poetic. All of this is in line with God's program. And what we see here is man didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't want anything to do with it. We are so blessed that we have God's grace in our life, that God has been so merciful to us, amen, that God has chosen to provide us a way to be saved. You know, he called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and before Isaac could be sacrificed on that altar there up on the mountain, God provided a ram, amen. He provided a ram, and so that God provided that young animal, that perfect spotless animal, in exchange for Abraham having to sacrifice his own son. And we're not called to sacrifice our children. The pervert, the devil did that. The false god, I think it was Molech, the god of fire, where these people were, pagan people were putting their babies into a burning furnace and killing them in the name of their pagan god, their dead god. God's not saying, give me your children to kill them. He's saying, you can give me your children and I'll bless them. You know, you can dedicate your children to the Lord. And there's a great picture of that in the book of Samuel, I believe. When you look at Hannah there, it's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for her to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten at Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of the soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And here it is, verse 11 of 1 Samuel. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. Amen. And then later on, she does. She says in verse 22, but Hannah not went up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that I may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And she does that there. And says, look, I'm going to give him back to you. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked for of him. Verse 28 of 1 Samuel here, 1. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. And so we can give God our children. We should. We dedicated all our kids to the Lord, and we trust him with them more than anyone. And we're going to pick up on the God's grace in the next episode, so stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.